kind, in the right measure. Cruel to be kind, that's a very good sign. Cruel to be kind means that I love you.
Hello there, welcome back to the Dental Practice Fixers Podcast. I am your co-host, Dr. David Matto. It's episode 6, and today, Rich and I are going to be sharing with you a way to get the best Google reviews for your practice ever. And my brother Rich is sitting right across from me in the studio here. How's it going, sir?
Hey, going fantastic. Great to be with everyone today. We're at our beautiful Matto Center for Dental Practice Success headquarters, towers in Reisterstown, Maryland, at our little studio here. I just want to say, too, if you came to our office, what do you think it would look like, the Matto Center for Dental Practice Success? Picture our office here for a second. What do you see? Okay, you gave that a few seconds. You'd probably be very unimpressed if you came here. We have a small space. It's nothing fancy. We've got a warehouse, of course, where we keep a lot of things. But you know, our team members have little offices. We've got one conference room. Dave and I don't even have private offices because we just, you know, we're on the go so much and we just take our laptops everywhere. But I guess why I'm telling you this is because we know that there are people out there that have these big fancy offices and buildings and their names everywhere and ornate gilding on the doors. And like, why, man? I don't know.
What is gilding exactly?
Gilding.
I never knew what gilding was.
Gilding.
What is ornate gilding? Gilding. What's a guild?
A guild is like a group of, like a fraternity
yeah,
of people.
Yeah, right, right. But gilding is...
It's like an ornamentation that will go on the door like, you know... It's gilding.
Well,
what do you mean? We don't have it.
I know one thing about it. We don't have it. We don't have any gilding.
We don't even have Luan doors here.
We don't even have any crown molding. I'm looking up. We have like a drop. What do you call it? Like drop.
We have one partial denture molding. No. The closest we have to fancy doors around here is the first album by the Doors.
But I'm glad you brought that up. And again, some of these shows, we just start talking and we teach through our many years of life experience, dental experience, coaching experience. And yeah, there was a day, Rich, you probably remember this, back in, I'm going to say 2000, 2001, 2002, where we just had like fancy schmancy large office, like a lot of square feet. We were paying a large, like a high rent. But back in those days, you know, I don't know if I'd call it fancy, but it's certainly fancier than what we have now. I'm trying to like embellish a little bit. Okay. Okay. Come on. Give me a break now. But we decided, like, you know,
you
something.
Parked your Jaguar right in front.
Yeah. Well, you know, never had one of those. But, you know, but basically, yeah, we were spending a lot of money on rent, on the size of our office. And you know something? We just figured if we downsized and we weren't as fancy or as large, and you know, and it doesn't really matter because the money would be going back in either into the business or into our pockets, and who cares if it's fancy? I personally don't.
I don't either, and you know, I actually like this office. I like working.
I love it
in humble surroundings, so to speak. It makes me feel good. Although there is, I got to tell you, there's one thing I regret. One thing that we lost when we moved from the large office. I don't know if you know
Should I guess? Should I try to get one
ahead.
Thing we lost when we moved from you regret?
I kind of miss.
I was going to say like private bathroom.
Exactly.
Oh, right. Oh, do you remember we had, well, it,
we had like a Jack and Jill bathroom.
Right? What is that?
A Jack and Jill bathroom? You never heard that term before?
A Jack and Jill bathroom. I've heard ensuite.
No, it's typically seen in a home where, and Jack and Jill, of course, it refers to like two siblings, like a young brother and sister. Maybe they'll be like 5 years old and 7 years old. They both have their own rooms,
right.
But the rooms are connected by a bathroom. And you know, on each, so they can enter from their bedrooms, but there's a lock on the interior bathroom doors so they can lock their sibling out. So that's a Jack and Jill bathroom. So that's kind of what we had.
We
each had our private offices. That. It had a Jack and Jack bathroom. Let's call it that. Or Jack and Joe.
I had one of those.
Jack and Jill will save you dough.
I had one of those Jack and Jill in college, in my college dorm.
You gotta be kidding.
No, there was like, we called them like suite mates. So we had like, they weren't suite, but you know, but in between our room and the other room, there was like a bathroom and you had to just take your chance. And if it was locked, then somebody else's, it was weird. It was pretty weird.
Well, from what I've heard about your roommate, he did some very private things, not in the bathroom, but like right in your dorm room. Is there any truth to that?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Okay.
Maybe another episode.
He got caught pleasuring himself behind the door. dorm refrigerator.
Behind the fridge.
Right. It's a famous story. What's he doing these days?
Probably still pleasuring himself all the time. Well, I don't know. Good for him. I have no idea what the guy's doing.
Speaking of pleasure.
We digress.
Let's get to your pleasure now and talk about how to get some great Google reviews. Because as we know, these days, whenever you hear about anything, whether it's a dentist, a physician, an attorney, a restaurant, a car dealership, a shoe store, the first thing you do is check them out online.
Mm-hmm. I always do. Hey, before we get into that, should we give our little tip of the day?
Oh, forgot about the tip of the day.
We promise our listeners.
People are waiting with bated breath.
Well, every episode.
Especially your old college roommate. He's waiting with bated breath.
we try to give a little tip within the first few minutes of each show. So even if that's all you listen to, you'll get a little tip that will improve your practice, your cash flow, whatever.
Shang.
So I know last episode, I think we talked about lazy expenses, like just going through all your credit card statements and just figuring out like you're probably paying for things that you ordered or subscribed to or whatever, like years ago, and they're lazy expenses because you don't really see the money come through, but it all adds up. And, you know, if it's $8 here, $10 here, $100 here, $100 there, it all adds up. And something that happened a short time ago, it's similar to lazy expenses, but I think it's even better. I had one of these, Rich, I had one of these cell phone plans, and I was proud of it because I thought it was really good because it was like unlimited data, unlimited everything.
Unlimited.
And I thought it was good, but come to find out, the mobile carriers, they're changing their plans and offers all the time. And I think mine was really outdated. And I found out that I could get unlimited this and unlimited that for like much less, probably less than half of what I was paying. I was being ripped off. As a matter of fact, you know how I knew I was being ripped off? Because when I finally got around to calling this AT&T, the mobile carrier, the woman looked at my records and she said, "Oh my, you're like on a really old plan."
Oh, that's a bad sign.
So I knew. So anyway, bottom line, what happened was, I was able to modify my plan and still have unlimited everything. In fact, it's even better because now I'm able to like use my phone as a hotspot and tether it. And so and you were doing the same thing. I was walking around in my backpack with one of those, what do you call them? Those MiFi cards.
Yeah, I had
it's
one
like
as
a
well.
Personal hotspot. Yep. And I was paying $50 a month just for the luxury of if I was somewhere with no Wi-Fi, I could turn this thing on.
Well, they were pretty necessary 6 or 7 years ago, let's face it.
Yeah, now yeah, but now they're
right. After 6 times 12 months of
because you pay for it whether you use it or not. Yeah. Now I'm able to, and this is not new news. It's not like new technology, but I'm able to use my phone as a hotspot. But the bottom line is it's all included in my bill, and my bill is now less than half of what it was, and I got rid of another device. So, and you did the same thing. I told you about it. You did the same thing. So we're between the two of us, we are absolutely saving several $100 a month. And so, you know, you might not think that's a lot, but you know, it all adds up. And several $100 a month times 12. Well, if you take this advice, just take a look at some of your bills. Cell phone, you know, mobile phones, cable. If you have satellite, DirecTV. Your home internet, whatever it might be, I guarantee you there's probably a better plan you can negotiate and get this way down and save a bunch of money every single month.
Speaking of that, I did this less than a year ago. Now, in Baltimore City, my cable plan is called Comcast. I know some of you use Comcast. It's a national company. And I just thought I'd call one day and say, "Hey, I think I'm paying too much. I'm thinking about switching to a competitor. What can you do for me?" Now, here's the thing. I have to confess. I live in a condo and I have no choice except to get Comcast, so I can't switch.
Oh, you can't put like a big DirecTV satellite dish on top of your
condo?
I get
kicked right out of there. I get kicked right out. But I said anyway, I'm thinking about switching. And look, these days people go off cable completely. They go, what do the millennials call it? I don't know.
I don't know what they call it, but they're using like Netflix and stuff like that.
Hulu, all those things.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I kind of threatened that I was going to switch carriers, and they gave me an unbelievable discount within like 5 minutes. I was saving a ton of money each month on my cable bill. So, hey, think about all the things you could be overpaying for and just call and see if they can do better. I mean, even like bank charges, anything. Mm-hmm. You can always do better these days. If you're paying fees on credit cards, switch to no-fee credit cards. So many places you can save money.
I mean, is this going to make you like wealthy? Is this going to make you into a multimillionaire? Maybe not, but it's who doesn't want to save a few hundred dollars here and a few hundred dollars there a month? It really does all add up.
It worked for Jake. It worked for us, and it'll work for you.
Absolutely. So let's talk today about how to get the best Google reviews for your dental practice in your area. And I'm using Google as kind of like a generic, like Kleenex type term. If you know what I mean by Kleenex, you know, when we say, hey, give me a Kleenex, you know, it might not be a Kleenex brand, but it's, you know, it's like a facial tissue, right?
And I'll have a Q-tip as well.
Q-tip, right.
Can you Xerox this for me, please?
What would that even be called, a Q-tip? That would be called like a
cotton swab.
Oh, cotton swab. I was going to call it like an ear cleaner. But so when I say how to get the best Google reviews in your area, not only the best, but the most, but this could apply to Yelp. Could apply to Facebook. You can do many different things with this, but we'll call it Google just to make it very simple. Because Google reviews and Facebook reviews and Yelp reviews and any kind of online reviews are super, super, super important these days. When you get your message out to your prospective patients in your community and they're thinking about calling your practice and thinking about using you as, you know, making you their dentist, then one of the first things almost everybody's doing. Almost everybody, they're going online and checking your reviews, whether you like it or not, whether you care about your reviews, whether you care about how many you have or how good they are, your reviews are being checked. Why not get a lot?
You know,
why
I gotta
not
make tell them you, good? I have one of those fancy VIP physicians. Talk about wasting money. That might be a waste of money.
I don't think it's a waste.
I know it's great. I think this guy's fantastic. I actually pay a quarterly fee to be one of his patients. And, last year, I asked him to recommend a dermatologist, and he recommended a dermatologist. And I trust this guy completely. But before making an appointment, what did I do? I went online.
Googled him to see.
And I got to tell you something. If this guy had a bunch of bad reviews, I would have gone against my physician's advice and asked for another recommendation.
Or just look to yourself.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, found one with a lot of good reviews. Right.
You don't want to make a rash decision when it comes to picking a dermatologist. but
it's one true way to skin the cat.
Exactly. But it's really true. I mean, everybody checks you out online.
And these days, it's almost like you don't really need a referral that badly because going on Google or Yelp or Facebook, it's like you're getting a million referrals because you can tell like what the general population really thinks of this doctor, or doesn't even have to be a doctor. It could be a restaurant, hotel, anything, whatever it is.
Tire store. So how do we do it?
So it's important to have a good amount of reviews, and hopefully they're going to be mostly good. Let's talk about that for 1 second, because no matter how good you are, no matter how good your team is, how good your practice is, you're not going to have 100% good reviews. There's going to be somebody out there that's going to be hard to satisfy, hard to please, or maybe one day, let's face it, we're human beings. We mess up. Your team might mess up. But the idea is to have mostly good reviews, mostly great reviews. And when I say mostly, 90-some% have to be really, really good reviews. So how do we get them? Well, the way not to get them is when a patient finishes treatment or finishes a cleaning or they're ready to leave, you don't just shove an iPad in front of them and say, Mr. Jones, could you please give us a good review? Because they're tired. They're leaving the practice. They're not ready to do that. And also, like, just having a sign on the desk that says, make sure you review us on Yelp. Nobody's going to do that.
Nobody. But I have a quick question. I know you know a little bit more about the technical aspects than I do. Can Yelp or Google, if you do this, shove the iPad in the person's, can they tell that they're coming from the same IP address, and that kind of brings up a little cloud of suspicion?
It's a great question. I was going to say that too. Yeah. So it's bad to even do it from your office anyway, especially if you're using your own, you're shoving an iPad in front of the patient and say here, because Yelp, they're detecting that it's coming from the IP of the actual business.
Right. So they know it's bullshit.
They know it's going to be BS. Yeah. Totally. So don't do that.
And it's not BS really, because the person really is giving a review, but Google or Yelp thinks it's BS, which is, it's bad.
Right. But also I think Google or Yelp doesn't really like it when you're like forcing it down their throat, like shoving the iPad right at
like
them.
The forced review technique.
They really don't like that. And there are all kinds of like algorithms and ways that we don't even know that they can figure out whether it's like a real legit review.
They know
or not.
Everything.
But it's scary. Kind of scary they do. But so here's a suggestion. Again, it's one of many ways to do it, but it's a way that we've been recommending and a lot of our clients and people that follow us have been using very, very successfully. And it's very, very simple. You can do it yourself, or you can ask your IT person, your web person, somebody that knows a lot about this tech stuff. It's pretty easy. So here's what you do. When your patient leaves the office after an appointment, sometime later that day. It's all done automatically. And again, your IT person can help you with this. It's done automatically. They get an email right to them. And it's a very simple email. And it says something like, again, you don't have to write this down, or it doesn't have to be exact, but something to the effect of, would you recommend us? Thanks for being a great patient. Would you recommend us to your family and friends? Now, they're given two ways to click. Either they can click yes, I'd like to recommend you, or no thanks. That's simple. Now, here's the deal. Remember, we're trying to get the best reviews possible. So if let's go to the no first. If they click no thanks, then chances are they're not interested. Maybe they feel they don't want to give a good review. So if when they click no thanks, it just takes them to another page. It could be a thank you page saying something. Well, thank you anyway. We love to have you as a patient, and maybe one day in the future you can give us a review. You know, it could be very generic, something like that.
Or even say, how can we improve our service to make it so you can recommend people to us? Just
right. See, exactly. Right. Exactly. That's a great one. It could be something just very, very simple. Now, if they say yes, though, from the start, if they say, yes, I'd like to give you a review, and they click that yes button, it takes them to another page, and they're given some options. And again, some verbiage that you could write something like, how was your experience? Thank you for recommending us to your family and friends. Please write a review on one of the following sites. Or it could even say one or several of the following sites. And then they're given a couple buttons, two or three buttons. Review us on Google. They can click that. Check us out on Yelp. Review us on Facebook. So they're given like three buttons they could possibly click. They can click one or all of them. Then when it takes them to that, then they directly give a review on Google, Yelp, Facebook. By the way, it does not take them to one of those like micro sites that it's all like hooked up to the what are some of those I'm thinking
like those like DocZoc type sites, and
there's
microbrewery. I mean,
no, those sites like I'm thinking like maybe like Lighthouse or have those micro sites that the reviews go on their site. It's not truly on Google or Yelp or Facebook. They're kind of
solution reach type companies.
And those aren't bad. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's better to have the reviews actually on Google, on Yelp, on Facebook, and this is the way to do it. I mean, that's really the description right there. It takes you right to Google. They put their review right there, and they're done. And if they want to do more than one, that's great. That's the easiest way to get, again, good reviews, because again, you're weeding out the people that say, "Nah, I'm not interested." You're weeding them out to begin with. It's almost like giving yourself an unfair advantage, because you're getting the people that are only saying, "I'm going to give you a good review," and they're doing it directly onto Google.
Unfair advantage, but totally ethical, totally legit.
We love
an unfair advantage if it's ethical and legit.
And if you keep this going, like, don't do it for a few days and then get sick of it. If you keep this going, I'm telling you something, over a period of a few months or a year, you are going to be the winner. But by that, I mean you're going to be the doc in your area that has the most reviews and the best reviews. And don't think Google's not going to pick up on that. Google is going to pick up on it. So when somebody's Googling dentist in your area and you show up and the person that's searching sees these 127 great reviews, guess what? They're coming to you.
They love you. Google loves you. They love you. Hey, let's do a little tease too, because I know there's a question a lot of our friends and followers and fellow dentists ask, and that is, what do you do when you get a bad review online? So look forward to a future podcast episode, how to handle a bad review. We've seen so many bad reviews mishandled, so it's going to be really important. And if you don't think you're ever going to get a bad review, think again, because you will. If you don't have some already, you eventually will get some. You need to know what to do when that happens.
Yeah, let me guess. No, we will do that on another episode. Absolutely. But before we leave today, Rich, we got to do our call of the day.
Let's do the call of the day.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
In office, can you please hold?
Sure.
Thank you.
Oh, nothing like the old "can you please hold" right from the get-go.
What percentage of the offices do we say do this?
It seems like it's
either hold or you get like some kind of recording.
Oh, hold or voicemail, 50%.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Thank you for holding. This is Julia. How can I help you?
Hey, quick question for you. At what age should a child start seeing the dentist?
We can see them up to a year old.
So at a year old, it's okay to bring a child to the dentist?
Yes. I mean, we can just see and get them comfortable. A lot of the times, you know, if it's too upsetting for them, it might just be like an exam, and we can try again in 6 months. But usually we can see children if they're a year old.
Great. I mean, my kids are 8 and 2. Now, the 8-year-old, of course, has seen a dentist, but the 2-year-old has not been yet. So you think it's a good idea to bring her in?
Yes. And then, you know, if she's too upset, we could always bring her back in because we don't, you know, force anything that day if she's too uncomfortable.
Okay, great. And you do see kids there, it sounds like.
Yes, we do.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for the information.
No problem. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Well, she sounded really nice up until the point where she didn't try to get you to come in.
I love the ending. Have a great day. I'll have a great day. I won't be coming to your practice with my 2 kids and probably me and my wife and the 10 other people I'm going to refer, but I'll have a great day. All right.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. Well, it's self-explanatory.
I'll tell you, as friendly and nice as she was, there was one thing that she did that I didn't like. And she kind of inferred that the appointment with the 2-year-old is going to be horrible.
She said something about if it doesn't work out, if they can't handle it, they'll bring it back.
If they scream and kick and choke and gag and vomit and you know, pull the dentist's hair, then we'll bring them back in 6 months. Well, why make that my expectation? Why not say the first visit we give them a ride in the chair and it's fun and we give them a little coloring book and they enjoy it?
Yeah. Wow. You know, I'll tell you something. We've been doing this for a while. It's really rare to get somebody that really can just, hey, ask for the appointment.
It's a rarity.
Why is it so rare?
It's a rarity. It should be well done, but it's really rare. All right. Well, hey, thanks everybody for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode 6, I believe.
It was 6?
Of the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. If you want to get in touch with us for any reason, we'd love to hear what you think of the podcast. If you have some topics you want us to cover, if you want to chat about anything going on in your practice, anything's fair game. Send us an email, podcast@maddo.com. That's podcast@maddo.com. So as that woman said at the dental practice, have a great day.
Before we leave you, though, got one more thing real quick.
Please.
Since we're about 6 episodes into this podcast, Dental Practice Fixers podcast, we're going to ask you a favor. 2 favors, actually. Number one, refer some friends. If you have a colleague, a friend, a dental friend, somebody in dentistry that you think would like this, let them know about it. Turn them onto this. And secondly, we would love to have you go to iTunes, maybe where you're even listening to the podcast. Just go to iTunes and give us a review, because if you give us a good review, hopefully, give us an honest review, but if you give us a good review, it's going to help let more people know about the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. So do us a favor, get in there and do it. We really appreciate it.
Okay, I'm Dr. Richard Maddo, and again, to quote that call of the day, have a great day.
And I'm Dr. David Maddo, your co-host. See you next time.